Thank you, Brother Hicks.
Mr. Couse, we appreciate both of them stepping up tonight. I've just been up here kind of reminiscing a little bit. I think the first time Brother Tom ever came to our house, Luke was probably about 13 or 14 maybe, and they played basketball. Guess who won? And have you been to Kenya, Africa? Anybody here? Brother Gregory has. All right. Yes. The other day, I picked up Brother Tom, Brother Paul, Rhonda, and I did, and Sister Felicia, and I picked him up earlier in the day. He went riding with me in the truck. And in Bowling Green, they now have a roundabout at Western Kentucky University. And, of course, he started laughing because when I was in Kenya, Africa, my sermon was the roundabout. If you've ever been to Kenya or been to Nairobi, Africa, they have a roundabout there. And the reason we were laughing is because the roundabout in Nairobi is a roundabout with about 5 million people all going round and around and around and around. 5 million people in it. And I'm not kidding you. And I thought we were, and you don't go round and around. You just move a little bit and blow your horn. You move a little bit and blow your horn. And so that's why we were starting to laugh. And I said, this is nothing like in Nairobi, is it? And it's not. But we're so thankful that he's here. And I'm just thrilled that the church has allowed us to come to be here to let Brother Tom speak to us tonight. Doing a wonderful, wonderful work. Sarah's school is just growing by leaps and bounds. And the people that they're reaching. And of course, when we were there, we didn't get to go to Mombasa. We actually went way up north to Ramogi Hill up there and organized a church, ordained, I think it was two preachers, three deacons. Yeah, while we were there. And of course, with Swahili. And if you don't know anything about Swahili, I'm Kuna Matata. If you know that, then you know Swahili. And so that's about all the Swahili I knew, and he didn't know much English. So we co-moderated that service. You know, a lot of people, they'll get tired of going to church, but every time that we went to church, there was already people there before we got there. And they would be sleeping on the concrete floor, and they'd just stay there. And before we could ever get there, they were already singing, they were already worshiping the Lord, they were already praying before we'd ever get there each time that we would make that trip from Bondo. And it just really moved us to see the anticipation of everyone that was there that wanted to have church. And the day that we had the church organization and the ordination that day, it was an all-day event. It started that morning, and we went until it was dark. And so we've labored together, we've loved together, we've prayed together, we've witnessed souls getting saved. I'll never forget, after preaching on that Sunday, a lady, a mother, I think she has three or four children, and she just came to the altar weeping and weeping, had a big puddle of tears, and then that weeping after so long was the rejoicing. And she got saved that Sunday there at the church, and it was just a wonderful blessing to know that the same God that we serve here is the same God that they serve in Kenya. And there's so much I could say about Brother Tom, but I'm not going to at this time. I'm going to just give way to him. All of them would be good. I don't think there's one ill thing or bad thing that I could say about Brother Tom, except that he got just a little bit impatient on Masa Safari. And the reason he did is because we kind of broke down a little bit. And we're in the middle of a safari, and people, that's not their habitat. It's all the elephants and everything else that were there. And it was just amazing. Hundreds of photos I could show you from that, but when we broke down for whatever reason, the big black flies that were by the dunghill that was about from here to where Brother Taylor is, they liked white people a whole lot. and they bite real bad. And so we were swatting flies, and it was a wonderful experience. You say, how can that be a wonderful experience? Because my son-in-law got on top and got us going as fast as we could go. Just story after story. But we're glad that he's here tonight to share with us what's going on currently. These are things that's happened back in the past few years. But we're glad that he's here. And we want Brother Tom to come and share with us whatever the Lord's laid upon his heart.
Thank you, Brother Ron. Thank you for the story that you have told. One thing that you never told them was the disappointment of that I got when we went to fish with Rhonda's father. And after I caught only one fish, he took it back to the water, and I got very much disappointed. And I asked him later what was the problem. He said, well, it was not big enough to be taken out of the water. In Kenya, we take whatever we get. But I'm really thankful for this opportunity and for all the brethren for allowing me to come again. I think I had come here once when Brother Armour was here, and I'm really very thankful for the opportunity of serving the Lord and for your prayers and the support that I've continued to get from this church. I do pray that the Lord will continue to provide and help you, and even direct some of you to come over in Kenya. It's really a good place to come, except when the Lord sends you to come. We really would like to get you and have you. Brother Larry has been there, Brother Spurgeon, and Brother Kemp, and he was also very much disappointed that when he came out of the airport and everybody was talking to him in Kiswahili, jambo, jambo, and he thought, why is everyone talking about my weight? And I had to explain to him later that no, they are greeting you, they are not talking about you, they're just giving you a greeting. So it's really good to have friends, and you have been very friends from that very day, sharing everything. And whenever I come, I feel at home to see brothers and sisters over here. I want you to continue praying for Kenya and for the revivals and everything that we are doing, because some of this church has been very supportive of our work for the building of the church at New Hope Mission Baptist Church in Mombasa, and even for Ramogi Mission Baptist Church in Bondo, and recently building Sarah School, which have really gone far. And because of that, we have got a lot of students, about 700 now attending. And in total, the student that we get from Mogi and New Hope Mission of Baptist Church, Mombasa, Mikindani, Sarah School, we are going about 1,000 right now. And that's really a big deal. Not only about them coming, but the opportunity to share the gospel to them. Because it's easier to go as a teacher, and when the student come and they get to hear the gospel each week, Friday, and the high school we have on Wednesday, and it's been quite a blessing because we have ready audience to hear the gospel, and some of them are because of course some of you don't know that in Kenya to become a Christian you don't have to confess anything, you just have to appear for baptism, and baptism, you're not baptized because you are a Christian, but because that's what the government and that's what the British government left for them to do. You have a name and you are called John, that means you are a Christian. You are called Muhammad because you come from Muslim background, that makes you a Muslim, and it has nothing to do with your conviction. And therefore we are having an opportunity to share the gospel to build young generation that have not so much been affected. They may have been affected because they go to madrasa, that's their, but we take a lot of time with them more than they take with the mosque, and therefore it's an opportunity. And recently we had parents, now since we have built a school and we have a very big, big place for worship, we have set a mission there, and that mission is really growing. Attendance is running to about 100 people each Sunday, and the students all flock in that place. And what happened recently was so encouraging that two of parents, one of them was a Catholic, and one of them was a Muslim. She had the gospel of Jesus Christ, and having been convicted and cried out from the bottom of her heart, the Lord saved her that very about 2 weeks before I came, and we had to take her and baptize her, and it was really very a thrilling moment for the church and for the mission work over there. And we have a lot of young people. Just I think 3 days ago, a week ago, also I got a message from one of our preachers, Brother Moses, who is helping me at the church. They had an Easter event, which is on Friday, and in that meeting, most of the high school students attended, and two of the ladies got saved, and that was really quite a blessing. So I believe that the Lord is still working, and the Lord never disappoints. We fail in different times, but He's still still with us, still loves to be present where His people are. And therefore, I want you to continue praying for us, and also come over Kenya, and the Lord gives you that time, and we will be able to, very happy to receive you back in Kenya. For those of you who don't know, there's a group coming in Kenya, I think in the end of this early next month, and there's also that other people are coming in June, and therefore there's a group of doctors and nurses who come to really try to help us in terms of medical. And also we have a group of preachers that are also coming, and in August also we are asking the preachers who would come, because the youth president just rang me recently and asked me if I could get them a preacher, because every year we have a revival for the youth, and we have about 1 week coming together, eating together, worshiping together, and we have different churches. We have churches all over, and even some of the Muslims, because they want to hear the teachings of the Word of God. And some of them are also to help them about to help them to direct them about lifestyles that the way they need to walk and to be able to be good citizens in the country. So I want you to pray for that. I want us to go to the Word of God this moment, and I ask you please pray for me. When I try to labor, I know that the Lord is good, and He never fails us. I want us to read the book of Ezekiel chapter. I want to read the book of Ezekiel chapter 37, chapter 37, verse 1 to 10. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 to 10. I read, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, they were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinus upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesy as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the soreness and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy, and to the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon this slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he had commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you help us to understand what you talked about, and help us, Lord, to understand what you want us to do. We know that you are still working and you are still calling upon us. Help us, Lord, to expound your word. Help us to know what your will is. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I want to say that this is a very disturbing scene. The book of Ezekiel is written for us to understand the situations that the Israelites went through after the when they went to captivity, and they lived there for some times. And the Bible tells me that at the time that Ezekiel was in captivity, Isaiah was in Jerusalem trying to preach to the Israelites, and Ezekiel was in Babylon trying to help them understand that the only way that they could have redemption was only by depending on God and God alone. But to them, they thought that maybe the neighboring country like Egypt could come in and help them be relieved. So Ezekiel, his work mostly was to really ponder and really tell the people about the living God, that it is only him that would be able to take them out of the captivity. And therefore, Ezekiel was called when he was still very young. Some scholars believe that he maybe have been about 25 years of age. Though he was a prophet, at the same time, we also know that he got trained in Israel, but was moved out before he could really act, because he was a priest, and was moved before he could be able to have his time to be able to serve in Jerusalem. And therefore, he was taken out by the Babylonians to the land of Babylon. And therefore, as he was there, the Bible tells me that something happened in his life. Even though in his life there were a lot of things that were going through, I believe that the old men and the people that were there, the young people, I believe some of them could not even be able to learn or to study or even to pray, because their life was completely in ruin, and they could not really think that they were God's people anymore. And I believe that they were really very much downtrodden. They felt so bad. They wished and they prayed that God would come and help them. But one of the work that Ezekiel did was to tell them that there was not going to be any hope, that they were not going to come to Jerusalem as soon as they wanted, because all they did was wait for the day that God will bring them back to Jerusalem. But Ezekiel, in that particular time, God lifted him up, and he talks about how God took him to a place. And here in verse 30, in chapter 37, we begin to see God himself taking the initiative both to ignite and to speak to Ezekiel and to manifest himself to him and to really come to understand that he is God, that God, even though his people might be in captivity, God can never be in exile. God works in and out and is able to reveal himself in every situation.
Amen.
You can be arrested and you can be in prison, and therefore you can even be told never to pray, but you can still pray in your heart.
Amen.
And God can still hear your prayers.
Amen.
And therefore it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter what rule and what rule has been brought, either in this country or either in whatever state, we can still have an opportunity with the Lord. We can still commune with him. He can still speak to us. He can still lift us, and he can still energize us, and we can still feel him wherever we are if we are committed. Ezekiel, the Bible, he tells me that God, the hand of the Lord was upon him and carried him out in the spirit of the Lord and set him in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. God wanted Ezekiel to really come and to understand really the situation that the people of Israel were in. And therefore, it was his responsibility really to own, it was his time to own that responsibility and to know that he was the one that God was calling. And as the Bible tells me that as he looked and said, and it caused me to pass by around about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. You see, as he looked across, the Bible says that he saw a group of people that were once living, but now have died. They have their flesh has decayed, completely disfigured and disjointed. They were so dry. It means that they were hopeless. There's nothing that could really bring them to become human beings again. And God talked to him. Verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? You see, this was a question that God put to Ezekiel. And he told him, like he was asking him, is there a desire? Is there a way that this bone, is there anything that you know that can be done, can likely be done in a manner to bring these bones to life again? Is that his answer? Was still quite humble.
Yes.
He said, God, I don't know. If you cannot give them the life, then they are completely hopeless.
That's right.
And that is the deplorable condition of human beings.
Amen.
We are living in a world where people walk shoulder high, and yet in their life, in their hearts, they are crying inside.
Amen.
They can walk and they can show you good pictures of their families. And when you try to internalize and to ask about, they tell you about how many children they have. And when you look inside them, they are crying because the family is no longer living together. They are really longing to really be together, but something has happened in their life. You can find a person very much working, having a very good job, but inside him, despite the fact that he has a lot of money, there is a craving inside him, because he understands, he's confused, and he does not know how really to get this hope. The hope can only come from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is our word. Can these bones live? This dry bones, this decay, the bones that have decayed, it looks like they have been there for a long, long time. Very dry, completely out, and there's nothing that could possibly be done. And Ezekiel replied, O Lord,
O Lord God, thou knowest.
Amen.
I want to tell you, brother, if you are here and you are lost, God knows who you are.
Amen.
The Bible says that God has a good plan for each and every individual.
Amen.
But somehow we try to be in the driver's seat and try to control ourselves, and the end is destruction. But if we can come back and make it about turn, what I call the repenting, we repent and come back to the Lord and ask Him to forgive us our sins, He's able to recreate us again and give us hope of our life. God knows everything in our lives. He knows us even He knew us even before we were born. Jeremiah talked about that. That you knew me even before I was born. God knew who you will be. He knew who you will marry. He knew even before you came to this church that today, this day, you will be here in this church.
Amen.
And therefore He had a plan for your life. The only thing you need to know to do is to seek that will of God. And once you know that will of God, ask God to give you the strength to obey that will.
Amen.
And the Lord will bless you. That's what Ezekiel did. Ezekiel, I say again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I want to tell us, brothers, that the word of God is powerful.
Amen.
In the book of Hebrews, the Bible talks about the word of God. He says that the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of souls and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is the discerner of every thought and the intents of the heart.
Amen.
The word of God is not only today powerful. The word of God has been powerful from the time immemorial.
Amen.
God has been powerful. He has been omnipotent.
Yes.
There's nothing that is so difficult with the Lord. All impossibilities are possible if you believe in God. The Bible tells me that the word prophesy here means preaching. Means talking to the voice. And you must be here and you feel so much dry. Because every design and every desire, every plan that you have is completely been messed up. But I want to tell you that you can come to the Lord. You can come to the Lord, and the Lord is able to give you the strength and to give you hope. Ezekiel had to prophesy. He had to preach. He had to talk to the bones. And he had to talk to the dry bones. And the Bible says in verse 5 that, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause the breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Without the Spirit of God, we are dead.
Amen.
The Bible says that God created man, and after He had molded man, He looked at it, it was good, but it was just flesh. It was just a soul. It was without breath. And then God breathed in it, and that which was just a soil became a living being. It's the Spirit of God that gives us life. It's the Spirit of God that makes us a living soul. Without God, in the book of Revelation, the Bible says that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. God is the one that we need in our lives. He created us for Himself. And in Him we move, and in Him we have our life.
Amen.
So there's nothing else that can be done out of God.
Amen.
He is the author of life.
Amen.
He is the beginner, and He is the finisher of our faith.
Amen.
And if you can trust Him, we can look unto Him. We can seek Him with all our hearts.
Amen.
He will never disappoint you.
Amen.
The people of Israel, The people of the Hebrew people were praying, some in Israel, if God will leave them forever. But I thank God that here is a picture of a people that have been hopeless, that have been discarded, that are living in a faraway country. They did not have a temple to go into. They did not have a priest to pray for them. But here God calls upon Ezekiel to serve them and to tell them about God, that they can come to God even though they were so dry, they were so much useless in their lives, and they were so much decayed in their hope. And they had to call, Ezekiel had to talk to them. And those dry bones had life.
Amen.
Because God spoke the word.
Amen.
I want to tell you that the word of God is powerful.
Amen.
The word of God can ignite your spirit. You that have become completely rotten, you that have become completely hopeless, you that feel that you don't have, you are not loved anymore, you can come to God and you can begin to experience a life full of joy because you are a son of God. That is the assurance that God, through the Holy Spirit, gives us. When we are born of His Spirit, we begin to feel joy, and we begin to feel the love of God in our hearts, and we feel the urge to go out and just to share it to the other people. Because we know now that we are ambassadors of the Most High. And He gives us a message to go and spread all over, to tell the people that God is still alive.
Amen.
He is not exiled. He is still alive, and nobody can stop Him.
Amen.
We can be stopped, but God can never be stopped.
Amen.
He's still in the saving, and still calling men and women to come to Him,
Amen.
To pray, to seek, and to depend, and to trust Him. And if you trust Him, He will never disappoint you.
Amen.
He never disappointed those Israelites. He came, and the Bible says that as Ezekiel prophesied, as He spoke the word of God to these dry bones, those bones that were disfigured, those bones that were hopeless, those bones that were scattered all over, the Bible says that there was a noise, and there was a shaking. I want to tell you that if you listen to the word of God and you put your faith and you trust that word of God and you lean on it and you take it by faith, there is going to be a shaking. There's going to be a difference in your life. You are going to be born again, and you are going to find yourself repenting of your sin, and God is going to do something very much powerful in your life that will begin to talk about it everywhere you go, at your workplace, everywhere. Because you want people to know what He has done in your life.
Amen.
That woman that God saved, the Samaritan woman, she went everywhere telling other people to know what Jesus had done in His
Amen.
Life. God will shake us. Will make us do something that we could not do by our own.
Amen.
Will help us to understand who we are. And when the real revelation of who we are comes to us, we have nothing to do but to bow down and cry, God, who am I? I am useless. I'm completely unable. But only that cry that comes from the bottom of the heart of an individual is able to make you. You dry bones, you that is hopeless, who that is unborn, not born again. The dry bones are those that have not been born again. They don't have hope. Because if they die today, tonight, they are going to sit away to hell. But I want to tell you that you can listen to the word of God.
Amen.
And you can take that word of God. And you can believe that word of God. And you can follow your heart and begin to repent from the bottom of your heart. And you will be changed. Something will happen because the word of God is powerful, it's energetic, it's dynamic, it's able to create. You will create an appetite for you and I to come out of your sinful lifestyle and begin to call about, to call him to forgive you of all your sins. You'll begin to look around to stretch forth your hand for help, just like someone that is in the ocean looking for one to save. And I want to tell you that Christ is here and is reaching out and is calling upon you. He says, "Come to me, those who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest."
Amen.
The Bible says that there was a shaking in the bones, and bones to bones come together. We can be one.
That's right.
Bones to bones came together because God spoke the word.
Amen.
And it's the word of God that is able to make you come to the Lord. It's the word of God that is able to bring you to understand the love of God.
Amen.
We are talking about Jesus of Nazareth.
Amen.
Jesus, the Son of God, who came from heaven to this world only to look for you wherever you are. Because he knew the problem, he knew the problem, he knew the situation, he knew the decay that we were in. That's why he came down from heaven looking for you and me. And his hand is stretched forth today and even tomorrow.
Amen.
Before you die, you need to give him a chance in your life.
Amen.
You need to call upon him. You need to seek him, because he is able to give you hope. He is able to put oil into your bone. He is able to put flesh into your life. He is able to give hope to your way of life. The Bible says that in verse 6, "Thus says the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord."
Amen.
You will know.
Amen.
When the Lord begins to work in your heart, when the Lord begins to bring you over, when the Lord begins to talk to you, when he begins to convict you, when he begins to reveal to you about your human beings, your desire, about how you are, hopeless you are, how you cannot save yourself, when he begins to reveal and manifest the power in your life, you will know that he is the Lord. You will know that he is the one that can save you. You know that he is the one that you can trust, you can call at a time of danger. He's the one that you can call when you are in a situation that you cannot help yourself. And he's able to say peace to your restless soul if you will trust his word. The Bible says in verse 7, "So I prophesy as I was commanded, and as I prophesy, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking." I want to tell us, brothers and sisters, that we have nothing to do but to do what the Lord wants us to do. As preachers of the gospel and as a church of God, we have to go out. Ours is to preach. Ours is to present Jesus Christ to this lost and dying world. This world that is hopeless. This world that is decaying, that has come up with a lot of rules that are completely against the God, the known law of God. We need to stand up and preach the gospel.
Amen.
And it is that word that will begin to convict them. It will begin to tell them and to show them and to manifest itself greatly to them, that they will begin to understand who they are. There are many people that do not even know who they are. But when the word of God is preached, and when we begin to get convicted, we begin to understand that we are nothing but a lost and a dying people. And once we realize that we are lost, we need to look for direction. We need to ask, where is the way? And I want to tell you, the way is Jesus.
Amen.
He's the only one that can bring you life. He died so that those that are dead in sin may live. That's why he went to the cross on Calvary. So that you that were dead in sin, You that were hopeless. You that, Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of glory of God. There is no way that you can escape this wrath of God. The wrath of God was completely against you, because you are, all that God saw in your life was completely sin. But God brought His Son, that He may take away your sin, that He may die in your place, that you may live again. And you can only get that grace if you believe in His word. There is a door that is open. And this door is not going to be open forever. It is open today. And this is the time for you to come to Him, so that you may have hope. So that, because life without Christ is a rotten life. It's a completely hopeless life. It's a life that has no better end. So if you can come to Jesus Christ and see the liberty that He gives. You see, in this verse we are seeing the resurrection of souls from death of sin to life of righteousness, to a holy, heavenly, spiritual and divine life by the power of His divine grace. Going along with the word of Christ, as we read in the book of John chapter 5, verse 24 to verse 25. Also, we are seeing a resurrection in a way that it's like a gospel church is rising up, coming from an afflicted, persecuted state, especially under the yoke of what we call the New Testament Babylon, to liberty of peace. That's another part that we see in this book. And also, lastly, we see the resurrection of the body at the great day, because all of us will be resurrected. And we, that's why Jesus talked to Nicodemus, saying, you must be born again.
Amen.
Because if you're not born again, you're completely on your way to hell. It doesn't matter what you are doing. Your work before you are saved is like a rag. But God wants you to come to Him to get salvation, so that you are born again. You are resurrected from that kind of life, so that you come out from that dry bone status, that you may have hope and begin to live your life in fullness, because Christ will give you joy and will give you peace and will know that He is the Lord. Because He is coming out with the blessings. He's coming out with the assurance, with the Holy Spirit, and He's great sufficient. That's why He called upon people to. He called upon Ezekiel to be the watchman. To look for anything that could be destructive. And today we are standing up as a church to be that watchman that is telling you that there is a damage coming on your way. Because without Christ, there's no way you will escape this damage. There's no way you will escape this tragedy of death that is coming. You need to believe. You need to trust. You need to call upon His name while He can be found. Call upon Him while He's still near. Because the Lord wants to make you whole. He wants to give you hope. He wants to give you life. He wants to take you out from death. And gives you life everlasting. That's why He died on the cross. So that you, that were dead spiritually, can begin to live right now. Because He loves you. He cares for you. And He died for you on the cross of Calvary. That's why He cried and says, it's finished. Today, the work and the plan of salvation is done. And He's calling upon you. Come. Come. While He's still found, He's still near. Don't put off salvation too long, because this is the time that He gives salvation. I think I want to say thank you very much. I want you to pray. If there is anyone that is here, still lost, dry and hopeless, not know if he dies today. If you die today, where will you go? I was, last time when I was here, I went out with one of my brother, and it was really a painful moment when I went to him, and I've never been into a place or visited a person that's about to die, and my friend told me, Tom, let's go and talk to this, my landlord, he's a good man, and he's going to die, and we don't know whether let's go and see. And I went there very scared, but of course I went. And when I went there, and I talked to him, and I asked him, "How do you feel now?" He says, "I'm scared." And I said, "Why are you scared?" I said, he told me he's scared of death. And I asked him, "Now, if you die tonight, are you sure where you are going?" And he said he did not know where he was going. And I asked him, "Now, for example, you get to heaven. You get to that gate of heaven. What is the reason that you can give to enter into that gate of heaven so that you may enjoy life?" He said, "Well, I don't have any reason. What I believe maybe because of the same people that have given my house to come, they always come and worship and do a lot of things. That's what I think. That's really what I think will be put on my credit." I want to tell you, you better be sure.
Amen.
You better know that you know that while time is here. And may the Lord bless you. If you are here and you are lost, you need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to come to Him so that He can give you hope. There is no reason why you should be in two areas. You need to either serve the Lord and know where you are going, because Jesus is the way to the Father. And He has faith. No one comes to Him, but no one goes to the Father but by Him.
Amen.
You need to trust Him. Call upon Him to save you and give you life eternal. The Lord bless you. Thank you very much, and pray for me always. I really need your prayers each day. Thank you for listening, and the Lord bless you.
Well, I've been fed tonight. That's a wonderful message, and we appreciate it so much. While he was preaching tonight, I was thinking about when we went to Kenya, the Rift Valley. The Rift Valley. Rift Valley is in Kenya. When you come out of Nairobi and start heading north, you come off a mountain and you see this valley as far as you can see. And from what I understand, that valley goes all the way to Israel, doesn't it? All the way to Israel. And that valley that is so large, that goes from Kenya all the way to Israel, is just full of valleys of men's dry bones. And I thought to myself as he was preaching tonight, my mind just kept going back there and how beautiful that place is and uplifting. And then he even preached about the roundabout tonight. I don't know if you caught that in the second verse. It says, "And caused me to pass by them roundabout." So he even preached about the roundabout tonight, and I picked up on that too. And but you know, if we don't, there was hope when Ezekiel prophesied of those bones, and they came together, and they became a mighty army. I believe there can be a mighty army at Mount Calvary, at Faith, and everywhere. If we'll just listen to the Lord and pray, and He can heal. I still believe that He can just make great things. And I'm so encouraged by what I've heard and what He delivered tonight. And
Amen.
I don't know if there's anybody here lost, but if there is, you heard the gospel.
Amen.
And you need to do something with that and seek the Lord while you have opportunity. Brother Hicks, we have another song, and come around, and the altar's already open. If you feel like you need to come and pray, you can. Also, if while we sing, let's give our hand of appreciation to Brother Tom Alonde. He did mention that Moses called him about the two that were saved from high school, but what he didn't tell you is that his son, Brother Jones Alonde, was doing the preaching and at the high school when those two got saved. And I thought that was very modest of him. But you pray for Brother Jones. He had been called to preach since I've been there, and that's his son. And so even after he passes on, the gospel will continue to be carried through Brother Jones. Brother Moses was one of them that was ordained while we were there. And so I'm just so thrilled to be here tonight. And I'm so thrilled that Brother Tom came. And let us stand and sing, come around and give him a great blessing.
Thank you
all
for
amazing grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found.
Year 2000. 16 years.